This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFGcast presents To Catch a Thief. So you are headed to the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah, I think so. We wrap things up rather abruptly at Johnny Timbo's parents' house. And have Freddie take me over to the Boom Boom Room.
So like you when you say that, you see like a sparkle in Frederick's eyes. He's like, you can tell that this is his thing. He's like really excited to hang out and even though he's like your driver, he's kind of like, oh, maybe I can go in with you or whatever, that kind of thing. And he's like, but this is just, you're just reading his face. Like, you know, he won't say anything out loud or whatever, but like you could tell he's just really kind of stoked to go. All right, get down.
So, Freddie, you ever been into this place before?
And he says, yeah, you could say that. You know, if anybody who's anybody, you know, has been to the Boom Boom Room, you know, it's just a place for, relaxation, you know, maybe if you got a few coins up your sleeve, you know, you spend them, that kind of thing. Good drinks, good food. Yeah, I like the Boom Boom Room. It's a good place.
So, you coming in with me then?
And his eyes light up and he's like, well, don't mind if I do.
All right, look, just keep on the down low. I'm George Armstrong, but I'm a salesman.
Oh, going on the QT. I get it. And he kind of like taps his nose and points at you or whatever. He's like, are you going? Are you using your same name, or are you going as somebody else?
No, I think I'm going to use my same name. I think as long as nobody recognizes me, I don't think it'll make too much difference.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's your thing. If you want to go under your original name, I can't stop you. All right. George Armstrong, the salesperson. So, and he starts rubbing his hands and then puts it back on the wheel, not realizing. And he's like, so, what are you selling?
I don't know. I hadn't thought that far out. may I sell insurance?
Oh, insurance. Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's it. Sounds like a good enough background as ever. I mean, you don't have to sell anything to anybody there. You know, you're just a salesman, just trying to blow off some steam, right?
Yeah. I don't think I'd be able to interest anybody in taking on a life policy here at the Boom Boom Room, right?
Yeah, I would say someone's doing something wrong if that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're in the wrong line of work.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the wrong place, for that matter.
Hey, you ever seen anything weird in there?
Oh, are you kidding me? Casinos, you always see the weird stuff. You got people trying to rob the place. You got just eclectic kind of people there. You know, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of celebrities go there.
Yeah, I get the impression that might be the case. Maybe some popular underworld figures as well, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, there's really just anybody goes there. Like, I've seen, like, or all I've heard, like people like Bing Crosby, Barbara Stanwyck, even Spider Jorgensen from the Dodgers even goes there.
Huh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I imagine like he's driving and like keeps looking over his shoulder and I keep like pointing back at the window.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, yeah. You see anybody there, you know, like, I think even some of the 23rd Precinct even go there every once in a while to kind of blow off steam.
Huh, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now I actually am going to kind of interrupt our little banter here. So instead of calling the police that work in Queens that Brian works for, I'm going to call that the 102nd Precinct of the New York Police Department. Before, when I was doing stuff for this story and stuff like that, I actually did no research as far as like, oh, what's what's going on with the police department? What do they have there? Like the kind of where you're hanging out right now, the 23rd precinct of the NYPD is there. Mm-hmm. But where you live in Queens is the 102nd precinct of the NYPD. So I thought, well, let's just use that and actually bring some real world zhuzh to the actual thing. Now, again, I might be off a little bit. There's probably more precincts than the 102nd precinct where we're at, but I'm just going to use that.
No, that's fine. So this one here in Manhattan is the 23rd then?
The 23rd, correct.
Okay, cool. I think I just kind of file that away. Like the 102nd's been cleaned up, but that doesn't mean it's the 23rd has. Because cops go to the cop bar, right? Like that's they stick together. So like if they're hanging out here and, you know, we already have the sense that, you know, Boom Boom or what fuck's his name? Boom Boom Calhoun is, you know, maybe less than savory a character. There's some things happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't want any part of. I'm trying to steer clear of.
You know what's weird? You always seem to say that in these episodes we do, and yet you find yourself in the middle of these things.
I know it's weird, Kurt. Why does that happen?
I don't know. Who would dare to do that? What sick, twisted mind would do that? So, you know, he's telling you all these things. He's kind of giving you like the lowdown on stuff. Like there's, you know, celebrities galore, policemen, you know, different elks that go there or whatever. So like it's a hot spot for different things.
Right. I just tell him, I said, well, you know, just like, you know, be cool. You know, we'll get in, we'll maybe do a little gambling and take a, you know, poke around and then, you know, we'll get out of there. So see what we can find.
And he's like, yeah, I'm cool as the other side of the pillow, man. You don't have to worry about me. I just like to play a few cards here and there. I won't drink because I'm on the clock. I'll just kind of hang out and, you know, whenever you need me, you know, you just let me know and I can, whatever you need, I can help take care of.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So you find the Boom Boom Room and it is a massive casino. It's glitz and glamour. When people pull up, they're definitely in better cars than you're used to seeing. Different makes and models, just what, you know, the most expensive things that you would see back in the 40s. You are kind of like just kind of seeing what's going on the outside, and you actually see like a celebrity pull up. I'm just insert 1940s celebrity and they pull in and you're like, wow, you know, this really is the spot, you know. There are, you know, some paparazzi there that are just, or some, well, it's not paparazzi back then. It's just some news people that reporters, are, you know, trying to get the latest picture on, you know, the latest a celebrity or whatever. And you see like people that are letting them out and you see like two big burly men that are manning the doors and letting people in and stuff like that. Yeah, you guys pull up. They do valet, so takes the guy's ticket. He kind of like Frederick kind of plays the whole like your driver thing. He like mm-hmm. he like instead of having them do it, he kind of opens the door for you instead and gives the guy a tip, even though he's doing all the work, you know. And he like even though he's a pretty sizable dude, he's like not as big as these other guys, but he's still like trying to carry himself like bigger than he is. And he's just like, you know, and even though you're playing George Armstrong salesperson, like he's treating you like you're like the king of New York kind of thing, you know. And you stroll in and it's lights everywhere, noise everywhere. People are hitting the slots. People are hitting cards. People are whooping it up, drinks everywhere. Yeah. It's just it's just glitz and glamour. It's dressed up all maroon, chandeliers that are just top notch, girls serving drinks that are just beautiful. Some of them that are, you know, you can tell they're paid to be beautiful. They're not paid to, you know anything about the products they're selling. They're just a face in the crowd kind of thing. Dealers, yeah, dealers who are dressed to the nines, all business, you know,
little vests and bow ties.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just perfect. All right, give me a second. I'm gonna put him back upstairs.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so
you're in the casino. Action.
So is this like? I mean, is it sort of like one of the Atlantic City casinos where it's sprawling, right? Like it's not like a club where there's like two rooms. Like it's a huge casino.
Yeah, when you met the guy, you know he was boom boom was kind of dressed to the nines, and you're like, well, obviously he's gonna have a good place, but you didn't expect this. Yeah, it's basically kind of like an Atlantic City thing. It's just it's glitz and glamour, and just like you're there for the experience.
Okay. I think you know, one of the girls walks by and he grabs a drink, you know, takes a sip and is like, oh shit, right? Like this is all alcohol, like this isn't watered down.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's like, anything I can get you, honey?
No, that's it. I'm good, thank you. Says good right. Drink.
All right, my name is Susan. If you need anything, smokes, cigars, drinks, that elk, I can help you.
I'll be looking for you later.
All right. Have yourselves a good time.
Thank you. And yeah, and like he does the slow spin, kind of like takes in, you know, like what's right around. I think like he just kind of like leans in, but like, you know, we're kind of standing there together. He says, well, I don't know how, what would I do? Because I had the, so he's a little perplexed because he was thinking it was going to be a small, like a relatively small, like mob, you know, fucking like a club or something. So this is much more grandiose than he expected. So I look at my watch and I say, how about this? How about we meet up here in like, say like 2 hours.
And he shakes his head. He's like, you got it, boss. And he just kind of gives you a half salute and like knows exactly where he's going and beelines for
makes a beeline.
Yeah. He's like, he's already like, he goes, he like grabs a pack of smokes. He beelines for Blackjack and he sits down and he's already talking up whoever's around him.
Right.
Yay.
I think I do the slow stroll. You know, he's sipping, you know, it's probably like like a fucking Manhattan or something. You know, it would be like a, you know, it wouldn't just be straight whiskey, I don't think, yeah. Right? Like it's more of like a mixed drink kind of crowd.
Yeah, you gotta do it up, you gotta win in Rome.
Yeah, so I think he's walking and sipping. He's just, and if you want awareness rolls, like obviously it's casino. I'm soaking it in. I don't really care if they're doing anything illicit. It's not my purview. I don't really care. Again, I thought the place would be smaller, so like specifically I was going to look out for Johnny Timbo because I know what he looks like. So I guess that will sort of be my stated intention, declaration of intent.
Yeah.
I'm looking for this kid. You know, is he moonlighting here as a fucking dealer? Is he, you know, slinging drinks as a bartender? Like, obviously, it's a huge place. So, like, I don't know that I'm going to see it all. But, yeah. You know, he's hitting sort of, like, the main areas. Okay. And just seeing what the setup is. You know, he might grab some hors d'oeuvres if there's people with, like, you know, food and stuff or whatever. Just, you know, he's trying to fit in. He might wind up sitting playing cards at some point. Mm-hmm. Especially if the kid is dealing cards, that would sit at his table. you know, or order a drink if the kid is, you know, as a bartender or whatever, right? So, like, depending on how it all shakes out.
Okay. I would actually like you to roll me I'm trying to think.
Awareness?
What's that?
Awareness?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, actually, I want to do something else first.
Okay.
No. I think awareness is good because I think it can play it. It can play into what I was thinking.
Okay.
So we'll have it be a DL of 4.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Oh, that's 6, baby. There's symbol on that side. It's either a one or six.
Good thing it was not a one.
Yeah, it's going to be an eight total. So yes, and
why do I even have you roll? You just rolled great every time. Just
the other two dice were a one and a two.
Oh, nice. Okay, so part of the thing what I was going to have is while you were doing these things, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't obvious that you were like, I'm investigating what's happening here kind of thing. So with that role, I think if it's okay with you, I think I'm going to have the and be, and nobody realizes you're trying to investigate what's happening in this place because people could get pretty suspicious.
They have security and stuff walking around. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So you see security, like there is big dudes everywhere. And you're like, obviously this place makes good bank. There's a lot going on here, so they need the right protection. So you see a bunch of different guys. One guy you see, you're just like you. We did not talk about this until except for before we came on. You wanted to bring Brian in because you were like, well, Brian can maybe help, but you're like, he looks too much like a cop, even when he's not a cop. This one of those security is like obviously a cop. You can just tell. He screams cop. He's got a crew haircut. Maybe you see no, never mind. But you just like just everything for him is screaming cop.
Yeah, just I clock that as certain demeanor.
Yeah. One of the guys you realize is a guy that you saw at one point walking with Concrete Biotti at one point. So either he worked for him or still works for him and then works for this place.
Okay.
And you don't know if Boom Boom knows that or not.
Not going to find out from me.
You see a lot of other guys that are kind of walking around and they're not as big and you're like, they must be like pit bosses and stuff like that. They're kind of mingling about and just making sure. And some people are like doing really good. And you hear the one guy be like, oh, you're really on a streak. We'd like you to stay at one of our fine rooms. You didn't realize that they actually have rooms as well. He's like, we'd love for you to stay the night at one of our rooms. Of course we will comp you with a nice breakfast in the morning as well. That's on us. And it's like some younger lady and she's just super stoked. She's just like really excited about it. She's like, oh, thank you so much. And he's like, oh, thank you. And thank you for staying at the Boom Boom Room. And there's a lot going on. The one thing that you don't see is you don't see Johnny Timbo anywhere. You don't see him playing cards. You don't see him as a dealer. He's nowhere to be found in this place.
Okay. So I probably spend a good at least a half an hour walking around. He'll stop and, he might like throw a nickel in and pull a slot. Somebody gets up and walks away. Get in there and try it. So it looks like he's kind of wandering and playing, like trying to find his spot, kind of like if anybody's paying any attention to him,
Yeah.
And then, after a half hour, 45 minutes, I think maybe he sits down at a blackjack table and he'll play like he's obviously not going to spend more than, I don't know what it would cost to play blackjack in 1947. Right. But, he would gamble, we said $5 is a lot. So I don't know, 20, 30 bucks, maybe, over the course of, I guess depending on how well I gamble, depending on how long I play for.
Yeah. So yeah, you find a nice place. Again, I don't know either. What it would be like. 25 cents. That kind of thing. It's probably not a lot. Well, maybe in these kind of places, maybe it's a dollar.
Probably but more. That's, probably a dollar, right?
I would imagine. Yeah. And it's a swanky place too, so people are probably throwing away money like nobody's business. Most people, that kind of thing,
They'll look for a lower stakes table, so like it's a buck. Right. Yeah, there's like dollar tables, and then there's like $5, $10, $20 tables.
Yeah. Right. And you could, and yeah, and you can tell too, because you, you know, you have your like your high rollers in certain spots, and then you have like that grandma that just wants to, you know, blow off of some steam and stuff, you know, and you find that table because you know it's going to be, you know, low stakes and hopefully you won't go home broke kind of thing, you know. And you sit down, and it's a young man, and he's dealing and stuff like that. And he's, and you know, he changes your money and gives you some chips and stuff like that. And yeah, you play a little blackjack.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would just, you know, fast talk, I guess, to something like he would just be like sort of chattering, right? Like he's played cards before.
Yeah.
You know, and he would just, you know, like not like running commentary, but also like, just like, hey, yeah, it's a nice place. Hey, yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, deal me in. I'll take 20, you know, da, 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 whatever. Like, oh yeah. You know, whatever, yeah, whatever. Like, just, I don't fucking gamble. I don't know. Like, <it's> just, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just, yeah. You're now, are you like talking to the dealer? Are you talking to the people around you?
Everybody. Like, he's everybody. Just, you know, he's the salesman out, you know, for a night. He's, you know, sold a couple of fucking policies or whatever. So like, he's got some money in his pocket.
Nice.
You know, so like play that up, like, oh yeah, you know, he's, you know, doing good, you know, blah blah blah, whatever. Like, I come in, have a good time tonight, you know, da da da, whatever.
Yeah, nice. All right, I want you to roll me 3 brains checks with a DL of 5.
Okay, can I? Is there anything I could add to it?
Right now you're playing. I'm just seeing if you're gonna win blackjack. So if there's something that you can. If there's a counting cards thing you have there for a skill.
I mean, have research and investigation, but I don't feel like
that's really going to help for gambling, no.
How about awareness or insight to kind of count cards to see what comes up? Because I think blackjack, I think they just continue to deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't reshuffle after every hand, reshuffle, I don't think.
No. Nope. Yeah, if you're going to count cards, yeah, you can use either of those.
Okay. Brains checks, great. So the first one's going to be a 6. So just a simple yes.
Okay.
That's a 5, 6, 7. So that's a yes and.
Perfect.
And 5, 6, 7. Yes and.
Nice. All right. So on those yes ands, I'm going to say that you doubled down and you won double your money on both of those. So
I get 2 tens and I split them.
That's right. Yeah. And people are just like the old lady that's sitting beside you. She's just like, wow, you've got some really good luck there, pal.
Oh, hey, look at that. The double tens. Yeah. 21, baby.
she's like, wow. I guess you don't have to sell as many vacuums now. She thinks you're a vacuum salesman.
I guess not. That's good luck for me tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'd say your luck is looking pretty good. And as she says that, a hand is laid on your shoulder. And one of the pit bosses is like, yeah, sir, can I see you over here for a moment?
Oh, yeah. Is everything okay? And he kind of like awkwardly stands and kind of like, I guess, sort of like pulls the chips over to like where he's, you know, would be sitting at, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to leave these here, right? Like, it's okay.
And he's like, don't worry. Your chips will be good right there. We just need you to talk to the boss for a moment.
The boss?
And he looks at you and says, yeah, the boss. And he gives you a very stern look.
Like he looks around at the table, kind of like, you know, holds his hands up. He's like, okay, lead on, Garcon.
And he leads you towards the back where you can see that there is a door that says manager on it. And then there's another locked door that is to the right of it. And they take you in through the manager's door. You see that as you are being led into that place, there are a couple of security manning those doors. And you also see Frederick kind of walking perpendicular to where you're walking, or maybe across the room from where you're walking. He pretends not to notice you, but you can tell that he's walking your way just in case he needs to jump in.
I think if I clock that, I just give him like a real slow nod.
Yeah. And he'll do the thing where like he kind of sees your little nod or whatever, and he grabs a drink and pretends to nurse it, and it just
he's in the area.
Yeah, he's in the area. There's like a roulette table, and people are kind of whooping it up or whatever, and he just kind of points to the dice as somebody rolls a seven. He's like, ha, you know, and just kind of acts the part as you are being pulled into the manager's office.
Okay. I appreciate that. Like he notes that, like, that's cool. I'm you know, Freddy's got my back.
He's a cool dude. Okay. So you get pulled into the manager's office, and you see that it's a little office where the manager would kind of do his thing. You also see that there is a door to the left, and he opens that door. And in that, or when he opens that door, there are steps that are going downstairs.
So we go into the manager's office, and then he opens up another door.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he stops, and he's like, "Hey, so what's this all about, guy? Like, I just, come in. I win a couple of hands of cards. What's you gotta break my legs now or whatever? Like, you take the money back. I don't care. Just give me my 20.
And he gives you a stern look, and he says, "You know, we take counting cards a little seriously around here, Mister."
I just was super lucky tonight. I don't know. I mean, I didn't count cards. I look like a, like, and he's in his rumpled suit, whatever. He's like, I look like a card shark or whatever. It's just lucky.
And he kind of laughs or whatever, and he like snaps to the security guard, and he's like, "Your luck's just run out." And the security guard brings you downstairs into this.
Just me.
Yeah, exactly. Brings you downstairs into this singularly lit room with this one light bulb. Nobody is down there except for a chair. The security guard puts you down in the chair and puts you down in the seat. The manager continues to go back upstairs, and the door is shut behind him. And the security guard folds his arms and stands manning the door.
So I'm sitting like in a wooden chair, and then there's a guy just standing by the door.
Correct.
I don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, "Hey, you mind if I smoke?"
He doesn't react either way.
Okay. And he like takes his, you know, his left hand on the left lapel and kind of like peels it back and like reaches in, pulls out a pack of cigarettes, and reaches a pocket, pulls out his lighter.
Yeah. You can tell that he, as soon as you kind of make a move, he like, he's not going to do anything, but he also like kind of has his hand kind of near his jacket pocket just in case you decide to do anything funny.
And then, like, he'll shake one up and "You want one?"
And he stares at you and no reaction.
Okay. Puts it all back in his pocket.
And, you know, a couple of minutes go by. They kind of sweat you out a little bit. You're wondering, like, okay, is, you know, who's going to come to see me? Is it going to be the same guy coming back? Is it going to be Boom Boom? Is it going to be another guy to maybe, you know, teach you a lesson? And you hear footsteps come down, and the door opens, and you see none other than Mr. Boom Boom Calhoun himself.
Like, I think he's kind of like leaned forward, and he's like taking a drag. And the door opens, and he, you know, kind of like up to the right. He says, "Oh, Mr. Calhoun, I took up your invitation, but I don't know. There seems to be some kind of problem. Got a nice place here." Well, you know, except for, you know, kind of waves his hands around.
Yeah, and he finds you entertaining. He kind of laughs a little bit. He's like, yeah, you know, I gave you that invitation, you know, and you took it. You know, I was really excited to see you here, but, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we really don't really like the whole car counting thing here. You know, the house always wins.
I mean, usually, right? I mean, odds are in the house's favor. I got lucky. I don't know. This guy says count cards. I don't know. I won a couple of times. There's some other, the old lady, she won a couple of hands too.
Yeah, but you know, it's weird because, you know, having this establishment that I've had here for a very long time, we have a good eye for different people. We've got, you know, people that have that beginner's luck. We have those people that are veterans, that kind of thing. And then we've got you. And he takes something out of his pocket and slowly puts on some brass knuckles and starts to approach you.
So I don't think he gets up. Like I'm out manned, right? Like
there's yeah.
I think he just like puts his hand, like he's got a, you know, cigarette in his corner of his mouth. He's like, hey, yo, whoa. Take the money, take the 20. I don't care, whatever. Like I came out to have a good time. Jesus, I don't want to, you know, get beaten up for nothing. I mean, Jesus.
And he kind of like looks down at his hand and kind of like polishes the knuckles with his other hand or whatever. And he's like, no, it's okay. We're not punishing you for anything. We're just teaching you a lesson. And he just gives one good swipe to your ribs.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Lesson learned, I guess. Jeez. Oh, my. Oof. Fuck. It spits the cigarette out on the ground. He's like, you know, bent over, holding his ribs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, it's weird. You know, I usually know just about everybody around here, that kind of thing. All of a sudden, you just kind of like show up in my life, and I'm just wondering what you's doing here, that kind of thing. But you know what? I'm a patient man. I think I'm a giving person. I'll just let you have this one, okay? You know, because I feel like, you know what? You're probably just here to have a good time, that kind of thing. And, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't need to take your teeth. You know, I don't really need to like bust you up too much. I think me and you, we simpatico. I think you got the message.
Yeah. Loud and clear. I got the message. Don't be lucky at cards. Like, Jesus.
There's a difference between cheating and being lucky. And he says, speaking of lucky, get him out of here. And the security guard picks you up and not so gently takes you up the stairs.
Imagine like gets up behind me and like bodily like lifts me from my armpits and like pushes me towards the door.
Yeah.
It's just a basement room, right? Like it's like cinder blocks with a light bulb and a chair.
Yes. There's nothing to see except for there are some like old blood marks around and stuff like that. So like, obviously this is a room to do some things.
Yeah. Okay. He allows himself to be led back out, and he's probably right-handed, right? So he probably punches me in the left rib. It was my right side that was broken before, right?
Yeah. So okay. let's say to not beat a dead horse for a saying. I'll just say he hits you in the not as bad ribs.
Yeah. Side okay. Rib. Yeah. I mean, it still hurts. Yes. Do I take a harm from that? Is that like a harm to health or to might or something like that?
Yeah, you know what? I think let's take it out of health just because I don't think it would ruin. I mean, it would affect your might, but I don't think it would ruin anything for might. So I think it'd be more health wise.
Okay.
Especially since it would probably jar your other side too, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to have a huge bruise. Maybe I've got a cracked rib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he allows himself to be led back up. When they're in the office, I'd like to take a look around, like, you know, for as much time as I have,
yeah,
you know, being pushed through, like maybe I'll stumble a little bit and just kind of want to take a look around the office, see if anything sticks out.
Sure. What exactly would you be looking for?
A baseball.
It's there. You've solved it.
A picture of Johnny, you know, anything that scratches the eyeball, you know what I mean? And there may be nothing.
Yeah.
But if he's involved and this is his office,
mm-hmm.
maybe there's something that sticks out. Right.
All right.
Like I wouldn't be so bold as to like stumble into the desk and like pull like random bits of paper. Cause like, what are the odds that that's anything? But like, you wouldn't, you know, just look. You know?
Yeah. Roll me an awareness check. I'm going to make this really hard this time, harder than we normally do. I'm going to make it a 6.
Okay. Absolutely not. I got a 5 total, which is a no, but.
Okay. All right. A no, but. Okay.
So I don't see anything. Nothing stands out to me.
Yeah. You don't see anything. Hmm. What would the.
I don't cough up half of my lung.
That's a good but. Boy, I want to give you something fun. What would I? Oh, boy, I don't know. I don't know why I would give you in that situation.
Because it doesn't have to be related to the situation, right? Like, it's just a good thing that happens.
That's literally what I'm thinking of, too. I'm like, what else can I give you? And I'm like, I don't know.
Freddy's got some bit of information.
Ooh, there you go. I like that.
He sees something, whatever. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Swipes my cash off the table so I can cash it and get my money.
Yeah. He's like, I got that money you won. They'll never know. Yeah. So you come out and you're noticeably limping or whatever. And even though Frederick was kind of like hanging out and like pretending to be one of the crowd, like he sees you and kind of like does the thing where as you start walking, he kind of like pretends to take a drink of what he's having and just kind of walks like he's walking somewhere else, but walking kind of beside you or whatever. And then he like goes to kind of scratch his face and he said, and he's like, well, you look more worse for wear than I thought you would.
Oh, I think that fucker cracked my ribs. Oh, Jesus.
He says, I actually, studied to be a doctor for a couple of years. So, he says, I might be able to actually help you with dressing that. So then you're not moving so bad.
You know, I'd appreciate it.
He says, and then he like gives up the facade as you guys are kind of walking out or whatever. And he says, did you find anything?
No, I didn't see anything other than the room where they beat people who win too much.
And he kind of like, he laughs, but like in an oh, I'm glad that wasn't me kind of way. But also also he feels bad for you or whatever. And he says, well, I got a piece of information for you.
No, you're even luckier than me then. What did you hear?
He says, hold on. I want to phrase this the right way. Okay. He says that, I was just kind of talking with some different people and stuff like that. And, I don't know how I did it, but for some reason I was able to bring up Johnny Timbo's name, and one of the patrons here actually knew Johnny.
Oh yeah, you don't say. Well, they say what happened to him?
Well, they said that the night he was supposedly sick, they saw him here, but he wasn't playing. He went into the manager's office.
I was looking for him. I didn't see him around.
Well, thing is, they haven't seen him since.
Ah, jeez, that fucking kid. Well, that's not good news.
No, it's not. He says, I think you have to be careful. He says, the person I talked to, didn't seem on the up and up, if you know what I mean.
Probably go for about half of this place.
And he kind of laughs at that and he says, yeah, well, with all the shiny interior and exterior of this place, you can always smell a rat. A rat's a rat.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And I think at this point, like they're back to the car or, you know, like they're having a conversation, like the car pulls up and he gets in and, you know, like he lights a smoke and goes to take a drag. And then just is like, tries to take like a deep inhale, take the edge off and just like, he was racked with a coughing fit, which then makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So like he like takes you to like, a local like drugstore or whatever. And he finds some wraps and stuff like that and kind of wraps you up a little bit. And he says, this should help you with the ribs. He's like, going to a doctor is not really going to help you. Cause he's like, what you got going on right now? Unless you want to get some pain medication, then not much else they could do for you.
No, I have some left over from the last time. Unfortunately, I didn't bring it with me.
Oh, from the last time you've seen some action, haven't you?
I got in a car wreck a little bit ago. Sent me to the hospital. Broke a couple of ribs. It's not a good time.
Doesn't sound like it, boy.
No, not at all.
Luckily, you made it out safe.
Yeah. It was I made it out better than my girlfriend did, but she's on the mend too. She's doing all right.
He, like, at first when you say that, he like gives a look like she's dead, and then you're like, she's alive and or on the mend, and he's like, whoo, he like kind of gives like a little thing, whatever. Yeah, so it makes you think about Jane and the fact that you haven't talked to her for a bit now. That just be something for the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's like, oh well, sorry to hear that happened to you. Hopefully you guys are gonna be okay.
I think so. I think everything's looking up.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, I mean, getting kind of late. I don't know if you want to go back to the hotel, if you want me to take you somewhere else. Where do you feel like going?
I could use a fucking drink.
And he's like, well, if you go back to the hotel, you can, I know that, around this time, the Marines pretty hopping, and, they also have some, live music too.
Yeah. Let's do that. Why don't you come in with me? We'll get a couple of drinks.
He says, he kind of looks at his watch. He says, yeah, well, by the time I take you back, I'm going to be off the clock. So yeah, why don't we get those drinks?
Sounds good.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.